Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Mean Girls, written by Tina Fey and directed by Mark Waters, is arguably the most culturally pervasive film of the 21st century. Since it was released in 2004, the film spawned a successful Broadway musical, a direct-to-DVD sequel, and a musical film reboot in 2024. Its quotes and catchphrases were almost immediately adopted by the American public and can be heard pretty much everywhere to this day. On Wednesdays, we wear pink. I'm not a regular mom, I'm a cool mom. Stop trying to make fetch happen. 20 years later, they remain as potent as ever. So get in, losers, because the great pop culture debate wants to recycle these plastics as we aim to name the best Mean Girls movie quote. I am not lying about being a virgin. I can't help it that I have a heavy flow and a wide-set vagina. I'm your host, Eric Resniak. Please help me welcome my panel for this episode. First, her breasts can tell the weather, and they say that right now, there's a 30% chance it's already raining. It's Andrea Guerrero.
I'm kind of psychic. It's like I have ESPN or something.
Sports? That reminds me, I need to catch up with Coach Carr. Our next panelist is the nastiest skank bitch I've ever met. Do not trust her. She is a fugly slut. It's Curtis Creekmore.
Eric, I'm sorry I laughed at you that time you pooped yourself at Disneyland when you couldn't find the bathroom and Minnie Mouse accidentally tripped you. And I'm sorry for recording it and posting it on TikTok. And I'm sorry for repeating it now.
Well, I'm sure that my father, the inventor of the toaster strudel, won't be too pleased to hear about this. And our final panelist is well known for making out with hot dogs and taking his wig off when he's drunk. Please welcome Jake Pitichelli.
Oh my God, Eric, that was one time.
You go, Glenn Coco. And up in the producer booth, we have Bob Erlenbach writing in his burn book about each and every one of us. If you're curious about how we ended up with this Sweet 16, become a Patreon supporter of the podcast or check out the bonus preview of this episode on your podcast platform of choice, in which we go through the whole bracket up to this point. And don't forget that you can head to greatpopculturedebate.com and find the listener bracket for this episode so you can play along with us at home. Also, before we start, I'm just going to make it very clear, we're talking about the 2004 version of Mean Girls. The original, not the 2024 that just came out. So with that out of the way, the GPCD players are ready to recite their lines, and Jingle Bell Rock is queued up on the Casio CD player. So let's get into these debates. First up, it's two lines about the plastics and their power over the school. Jake, make Bethany Bird more relevant than she has ever been by recalling her encounter with Regina George.
One time, she punched me in the face. It was awesome.
Indeed it was. Now Curtis will play Janice Ian and set up Andrea as she shares Damien's explanation for what is going on with Gretchen Wiener's hair.
That little one? That's Gretchen Wiener's. Gretchen Wiener's knows everybody's business. She knows everything about everyone.
That's why her hair is so big. It's full of secrets.
Secret hair. So the vote is one time she punched me in the face versus her hair is so big it's full of secrets. I'm going to start with Andrea. Where are you voting on this one?
I'm voting with her hair is so big, it's full of secrets. I love that line because her hair is not that big in the movie. It's like pretty flat.
Yeah.
But it's just a really great Damien line.
Lacey Chabert's hairstylist over here catching strays. Curtis Creekmore, where are you?
Tough one. Bethany Bird is a fantastic character. She gets the punch me in the face line and she gets the wide set vagina line, which are both just really hilarious. But I'm also going to go with Gretchen Wiener's hair because I wish mine were full of secrets.
I'm pretty confident that it is. And it's actually pretty big right now. There's volume.
Yes, I'm working on it. Thanks.
Yeah. Jake Pitichelli, where are you on this one?
I got to go with my girl, Bethany Bird. I mean, I love this scene. First off, the delivery is so good by Bethany, but also how the cutaways to other North Shore students that it goes on. You know, her favorite movie is Varsity Blues. And then one time she met John Stamos on a plane and he told her she was pretty. And then another, and a great one, I hear she does car commercials in Japan. She's doing Toyotathon. Amazing. So yeah, I have to go with one time she punched me in the face.
I didn't realize it was Toyotathon. I've got to go. No, I'm just kidding.
Honda Days.
It could have been Happy Honda Days, everybody. But I'm going to go with The Hair Full of Secrets because I do think that it's got more, it's something that people can use in everyday life. It's three for the secret hair, and that will move into round two. Next, two meditations on the effectiveness of the plastics. First, Jake play Gretchen and Curtis play Regina as they discuss one of the most important catchphrases of the 21st century.
That is so fetch.
Gretchen, stop trying to make fetch happen. It's not going to happen.
I will take on the role I was born to play, a middle-aged white woman in a Gap sweater, as I portray Miss Norbury during the gymnasium come to Jesus meeting where Jake sets me up as Regina George. Jake?
Can I just say that we don't have a click problem at the school, and some of us shouldn't have to take this workshop because some of us are just victims in this situation?
That's probably true. How many of you have ever felt personally victimized by Regina George? Good. Okay, who's next? That was a great delivery, Jake. Thank you for that. I really felt the Regina-ness in it. Speaking of which, Jake, where are you voting here?
I gotta go with raise your hand if you've ever been victimized by Regina George. Classic.
Okay. And by the way, the debate on this one is stop making fetch, trying to make fetch happen versus raise your hand if you've been personally victimized. Curtis?
I am victimized and I'm fetch. I really love the scene of the personally victimized piece, especially because the secretary like kind of looks around and she's like, oh, me too. Yeah. Like, but fetch is a pop culture phenomenon. Like fetch was beyond this. So I think we have to move fetch forward. If fetch falls out now, what do we have?
What do we have? That's a really esoteric question. Ladysmith Black Mambazo, I'm throwing it to you. Is it going to be fetch or is it going to be personally victimized?
I am going with personally victimized. I feel like just personally, I use that one more every day than I do fetch. And maybe I've like ebbed and flowed a little bit. Like sometimes I use the fetch one more and sometimes use personally victimized. But the personally victimized one, you can just apply it to so many situations and it doesn't have to like be teen movie related. It can span genres and interests and everything. I've used it in reference to sports and people around me get it and they're like sports people. Because that's how ubiquitous this movie is. So I'm going to stick with personally victimized.
I mean, I'll use it right now. Members of the podcast, how many of you have been personally victimized by me? Raise your hands. Everybody, it's unanimous. I'm still voting for fetch here, and I'll tell you why. I think there's something so amazing about the fact that a line that is deliberately about trying to make a catchphrase out of nothing actually turned it into a catchphrase that people use. There is a meta element to it that I find delightful. At the same time, I think if it goes out here, that's also kind of meta and funny because we're trying to make the catchphrase that couldn't be made happen. So we are currently locked 2-2 in a tiebreaker in a minisode. We go to alphabetical round robins. Andrea, you're up first.
I have been personally victimized here in this moment by always having to go first on this podcast for tiebreakers, but I will be staying with personally victimized.
All right, so that will be moving into round two. Next up, in our next debate, we confront the cruel realities of being in spaces where we aren't welcome. First, Jake, become the shop girl at the mall as a Kale Teen Bar enriched Regina shops for her prom dress.
Sorry, we only carry sizes 1, 3, and 5. You could try Sears.
Gasp. Next, Andrea, embody the crying girl as you set up for Curtis as Damien for the ultimate call out.
I wish we could all get along like we used to in middle school. I wish I could bake a cake filled with rainbows and smiles and everyone would eat and be happy.
She doesn't even go here.
First of all, you were that crying girl, Andrea. That was
I might have been that crying girl in real life at one point. That's okay.
Great job. And Curtis was giving us theater, honey. He was way back in his office. So you had the experience. Curtis, I'm going to start with you. The debate is we only carry sizes 1, 3, and 5. Try Sears or she doesn't even go here. Curtis, where are you going?
This episode is impossible. I love both of these for very different reasons. I love Regina's face when she gets told she's too fat to shop at that store because she tries so hard to not be. I love that there's a store called 135 where you can only buy 135. And Sears as like the major cut there. but I have said the words "she doesn't even go here" more than probably most in my life. So I'm going to go with that one because it's just so iconic for this movie.
Jake, 135 or "she doesn't even go here"?
I got to go with 135. First off, the delivery from the sales lady is so shady. Which I love. And I love the fact that at this point, Regina is eating calcium bars and eating up to 5,000 calories a day. And that she's been putting on this dress on hold for weeks. And that this, it's, I think the fact that, as Curtis says, she can't believe that this is happening to her. But I think that at the end of the, I think this line just made me laugh more. And that's okay. A big criteria for me. I know that it's hard. This is very subjective, but this episode is especially, but it just made me laugh more. And just for that reason alone.
Yeah, and listen, these quote episodes are literally 100% subjective. That's all they are. There is no, like, actual law and logic here. It's just what you're feeling like. Speaking of which, Andrea, where are you feeling on this one?
I feel like "she doesn't even go here" was kind of the original standout quote of the movie, just because it is such a big pivotal moment in the movie. But now that we're, like, in the 2020s, I think the 135 quote has kind of come back around because of the Sears cut. Because for us, it's really funny because the Sears, I don't know, do they even exist anymore?
Does it exist anymore?
I don't think they exist anymore. I think they sell appliances and maybe occasionally.
If Sears no longer exists, then how are we finding the softer side of anything in the 2020s?
It's tough because I'm trying to, like, not have recency bias with it. But I mean, at the end of the day, this is a movie that is 20 years old for us and holds a deep spot in our heart. So I'm going to go with "You Could Try Sears."
All right. I'm going with "She Doesn't Even Go Here." I think it is the one that, you're right, it was the kind of the breakout quote, but I think it still is a breakout quote. And Curtis, you're next in the tiebreakers. So which one's going forward?
It's "She Doesn't Even Go Here."
All right. So we will be moving that into round two. Next, the panel is currently split between two declarations of fact. First, Andrea will summon the amazing observational powers and fifth sense of Karen Smith.
Hi, this is Karen Smith. It's 68 degrees and there's a 30% chance that it's already raining.
Come on, acting. I love this. Next, I will play Regina as she demands obedience for consumerism. Hey, get in, loser. We're going shopping. So it's a 30% chance it's already raining versus get in, loser, we're going shopping. Jake Pitticelli, where are you going?
I'm getting in the car. I'm getting in Regina's silver Lexus and we're going shopping. I feel like I use that line, you know, Andrea said earlier that, you know, lines that we use all the time. I mean, that's what makes this movie so good, is that so much of this, of the dialogue is used in my daily, you know, it's my daily vernacular every day and just like either even professional settings, and everybody gets it. But I'm getting in the car.
Excellent. Curtis, where are you on this one?
Karen is standing in the rain. It is literally soaking her, and she grabs her breasts, and there's only a 30% chance that it's already raining. It is perfection.
It's a really funny line, and it's also, the delivery is so good. Mm-hmm. Amanda Seyfried's delivery consistently in that movie is hilarious. Yep. Andrea, where are you on this one?
I'm sticking with Karen's line. It's just so stupid because she's so stupid, but she's good-natured and good-hearted at the end of the day. We love to see that in a character.
Agreed. I'm really torn here because the thing about the get in, loser, we're going shopping is, to me, it's an echo of Clueless, and I've made this argument before that, like, there is a direct line between Clueless or Mean Girls to Clueless for the Gen Xers to Fast Times at Ridgemont High. And I feel like that is a through line, even to Valley Girl. For teens, consumerism, this is what they do. This is like the makeover part of the movie. But I think in terms of the quotes that really stand out, I'm going to give it to Karen and 30% chance. I'm really sorry, Jake. All right, next, the panel wrestles with expectations. Curtis, play the fashion police, aka Regina, and I'll play Karen as we make our listeners aware of a specific sartorial rule.
Coolness. So we'll see you tomorrow.
On Wednesdays, we wear pink. Jake, do your best Amy Poehler as Mrs. George, and make sure our listeners know how things are under your roof. Regina, I mean Curtis, help him out.
There are no rules in this house. I'm not like a regular mom. I'm a cool mom. Right, Regina?
Mom, could you go fix your hair?
All right, so the vote is between On Wednesdays We Wear Pink and I'm not a regular mom. I'm a cool mom. Andrea, where are you on this one?
Oh, man. As much as I love Rachel McAdams' delivery of that line of, Mom, could you go fix your hair? Like, that is like Oscar worthy delivery right there. That line, I'm not like a regular mom, I'm a cool mom, has been a little played out by the millennials of the world. You know, you find it on sweaters and coffee mugs and stuff. And it's just, it's kind of lost its charm, unfortunately. And again, this goes back to Karen just being like so funny and so dumb and so just like happy to be here. And she's like, on Wednesdays, we wear pink. Like, she's so excited to like have a new person at the table. And she's going to show up tomorrow on Wednesday and wear pink. So Wednesdays, we wear pink.
Excellent. Jake, it's Wednesdays, we wear pink versus I'm not a regular mom, I'm a cool mom.
I am a cool mom. And, you know, I love the scene because it's the first time that we meet Amy Poehler's character, Mrs. George. But I think, yeah, any movie at the end with Tina Fey and Amy Poehler is usually a recipe for success. This, I think, is no doubt. But I love that she's making the scene. She's getting ready to make them a hump day treat for happy hour, which is from 4 to 6. I think it just sets her up. She isn't, you know, she's one of those side characters that every time she's on screen, she steals every scene that she's in.
It's these are margaritas. Do these have alcohol in them? No, honey, they're virgin. But do you want some? Curtis, where are you?
People wore pink on Wednesdays. Literally, like, that was a thing that after this movie came out, Wednesdays, people wore pink. So just from a pop culture, you know, primacy perspective, I'm going to go with the pink.
I'm not understanding the past tense there. I feel like people still wear pink on Wednesdays.
20 years later.
Because of this movie, yes. I'm torn on this one. I'm going to throw it to there are no rules in this house and do the cool mom. So this time, Jake, it's split. You're the tiebreaker. Where is it going?
I'm going to go with I'm not like a regular mom, I'm a cool mom. Sorry, Curtis.
That's okay. I wanted everybody to get the tiebreaker, so we will be moving cool moms into round two.
I want my pink shirt back.
Next, the students of North Shore High are really going through it. First, Andrea will be Damien, and Jake will be the gal who is horrified that he's in the girls' bathroom.
She's fabulous, but she's evil.
Hey, get out of here.
Oh my God, Danny DeVito, I love your work.
Again, terrific acting from the GPCD players. Snaps to you. Next, Curtis will also play Damien as he hands out candy cane grams to the homeroom class. I will assist as the teacher.
Candy cane grams.
Okay, hurry up.
Taylor Zimmerman, 2 for you. Glenn Coco, 4 for you, Glenn Coco. You go, Glenn Coco.
All right, so it is, oh my God, Danny DeVito, I love your work, versus You Go, Glenn Coco. Curtis, where are you voting on this one? Oh,
this could be a top two, honestly. These are both iconic lines from the movie. I'm going to stick with Glenn Coco because I just recently learned Glenn Coco is a real human being.
Yes.
Tina Fey went on one of the late night shows, I think it might have been with Seth, and said that she knew this Glenn Coco person from Pennsylvania from growing up, and I think it was a neighbor. So Glenn Coco, this is for you.
Jake, Glenn Coco, or what did we say the other one was? Oh, Danny DeVito.
Well, if people could see me right now, they would see that my name is Glenn Coco.
Yes.
Sign in. So I have to go with my friend Glenn Coco. And none for Gretchen Wieners.
None for Gretchen Wieners. Be the change you want to see in the world. And in this case, the change that Jake wanted was to become Glenn Coco. Ladysmith Black Bombazo, a.k.a. Andrea, is it Danny DeVito or Glenn Coco?
I think I'm overruled at this one at the end of the day, probably. So I'm just going to stick to my guns with Danny DeVito. The way that Damien just chases that poor girl out of the bathroom screaming that she's Danny DeVito. I feel like that one was kind of a throwaway line, not like a throwaway line, but one that kind of got lost amongst all the other like great lines in this movie. And it sort of resurfaced now that Danny DeVito's sort of having this like renaissance moment too. Oh my God. It just cracks me up every time just watching him like hands out straightforward running after her like a toddler.
Also, we love Danny DeVito on this podcast, and I am stating right here, right now, we are going to do a best Danny DeVito movie episode. Put it down in the ideas thing, please, Bob. I know I said I wasn't going to talk much about the 2024 movie, but I am going to make a point in this particular because in the 2024 movie, the viewer is Glenn Coco. The way that it shifts when he's handing out the candy grams, the perspective shifts to you in the audience. He's handing the candy gram to you and saying, "You go, Glenn Coco," which I thought was really kind of fun. We are all Glenn Coco, all of us. And so for that reason, I'm giving it to Glenn Coco. He's the moment, and he will continue into round two. Next, it's two quotes regarding the joys and horrors of sexual awakenings. First, Andrea, become Coach Carr as you teach sex ed.
don't have sex because you will get pregnant and die. Don't have sex in the missionary position. Don't have sex standing up. Just don't do it. Promise. Okay, everybody take some rubbers.
It's wise words. Next, I will play Amber D'Alessio being confronted by her greatest shame in the burn book. Made out with a hot dog. Oh my God, that was one time. All right, so we have Coach Carr's Don't Have Sex versus Amber's I Made Out with a Hot Dog. Jake, where are you?
Amber D'Alessio. Team Amber D'Alessio, made out with a hot dog. Because I myself like to make out with them, and I do love hot dogs. Mm-hmm. And now myself, I want a hot dog real bad.
All right. Where are you on this one, Andrea?
I got to stick with Coach Carr. It's just such a silly line of this guy trying to teach sex ed, probably in a school that may have been like an abstinence-only school for a while. And he's probably trying to do this for the very first time. And just given his backstory in the whole movie, it's really funny. Go take some rubbers.
Let's talk about the backstory briefly, because that's what makes this even funnier. Like, when you're first seeing it, it's funny on its own, but then you learn later on that he's actually having affairs with not one but two different students in the school. So that makes it like he's telling them to have sex.
Trang
and he's
Pak.
Having
Trang Pak is a Grotsky little biatch.
The other one whose name I cannot remember. But yeah, like it's hilarious. Curtis, where are you on this one?
I think I'm also with Coach Carr, specifically because of the use of rubbers. So just the word rubbers. Like, I did not grow up calling them rubbers, like they're condoms, but rubbers, I think, is like a slightly perhaps Gen X term, which I think settles quite nicely here. And then just him going through the different lists of ways of having sex and that people will die.
I mean, they
will. You will get chlamydia and die. And I love that he spells it chlamydia. K-L-L-K.
It's great. So I'm going with the hot dog here. I'm sorry. Because number one, I think that is a completely unnecessary line, right? There is no need for that. And it's in the burn book. It's so stupid. And the fact she's like, oh my God, that was one time. Like, that's really funny writing. And also the fact that it's ostensibly an Italian girl named Amber. We all know that girl named Amber. We all know her, and we all know that she made out with a hot dog. Everybody who knows an Amber knows that that is true. So they couldn't have named the character better, and for that reason, I'm going with that. That means we're split. I'm going to use my tiebreaker, and I'm going to move the hot dog into round two. Finally, in round one, we have a unanimous decision, thank God. First, Jake, please recite the outgoing quote given to us by nameless burnouts at the very start of the movie.
And on the third day, God created the Remington Bow action rifle so that man could fight the dinosaurs and the homosexuals. Amen.
Well done, Curtis Creekmore. Do you feel seen by that delivery?
Yeah, I feel offended, in fact. Yes.
A little too close to home, Curtis.
I was going to say, it's a little too close to home. Thank you. Great job, Jake. But like the dinosaurs, it will be going extinct because everyone is voting for the following quote from Gretchen, recited by Curtis with a tee up from me as Karen. So if you're from Africa, why are you white?
Oh my God, Karen, you can't just ask people why they're white.
So true. Representation matters. All right. So that is the end of round one. We're going to take a quick break so I can push people. That's right. I'm a pusher. We'll be right back after these messages.
$5 can't buy you much these days. In the 90s, a Big Mac Extra Value meal rang in at $4.59. Today, that same meal will cost you $7.89 and leave you filled with regret. You know who would never do that to you? The Great Pop Culture Debate. For just $5 a month, our Patreon supporters gain access to a treasure trove of unaired content, like those secret fries at the bottom of the bag. So if you're hungry for some delicious pop culture content, pass on the Big Mac and head to greatpopculturedebate.com to become a Patreon supporter today. Now I'm hungry.
This episode is brought to you by Snapple. Welcome to the Snapple Market Auditory Experience. Close your eyes. Imagine you're walking into your neighborhood store. You make your way to the back and reach for your favorite Snapple flavor. You can't wait. You take a sip. Whoa, that's a lot of flavor. What flavor are you holding? Now open your eyes and check out Snapple.com to find ridiculously flavorful Snapple near you.
Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And we're back for round two of our best Mean Girls quote debate. Before we get into the Elite Eight, I want our army of skanks, I mean panelists, to share their social media, what else they're working on, and when they first remember seeing Mean Girls. Andrea, you're up first.
I am on Instagram by the name at Dre Souffle, and that's about all that I work on is this podcast and trying to not doom scroll on social media. The first time I saw Mean Girls, I don't really remember the first time I saw it because I've seen it so many times. They all blend together.
They do. That's true. And I think for your generation in particular, like, this is just everybody saw this movie. It was like osmosis almost. So thank you for that, Curtis. Socials, what else are you working on? And first time you remember seeing Mean Girls?
You can try searching or Googling for at Curtich, C-U-R-T-I-T-C-H. I'm not working on anything, but I wish I were. So if you are interested in casting me in your next, I don't know, romantic comedy that you're putting together, then feel free.
Mean Gays.
Oh my God. I must write it. Mm-hmm. I also cannot remember the first time that I saw Mean Girls, but it is my favorite movie. Mean Girls is probably the movie that I've seen the most because in college, it was the movie that I put on before not watching a movie with a gentleman caller that I would invite over. Mm. We would make it approximately to the introduction of Miss Norberry. And that was about it, which if you've seen the movie is maybe 6 minutes in.
You are truly a slut among sluts.
The intro song, out of bed at the crack of noon, like it plays in my dreams.
Well, thank you. That is fascinating information that I know about you now. So I appreciate that. Jake, socials, what else are you working on? And when's the first time you saw Mean Girls?
My socials are JTaysu underscore. I'm working on myself. The first time I saw Mean Girls was 2004, is right when the movie came out. I was 11, it was PG-13. I had to convince my mom to go, and I somehow convinced her that it was, you know, just some family movie. So we went with some two of my other friends, and at the end, when we came out of the film, she was absolutely mortified that she had brought me. But I'm happy that she let me stay. It was a very formative experience. But I love this movie so much. And again, it's also one of my top three favorite movies. I think the other one is probably Bridesmaids. I think what's great about this movie is it builds community. When I was in college, the first night I posted in our dorm Facebook group that I'm hosting a Mean Girls and Pizza Night. And like the first night, and it probably had like, you know, 20 other people like in my dorm room, and like made some friends instantly, you know. And it builds, like, you know, I think instantly if I hear someone make a Mean Girl quote, I'm like, oh my God, that's like, you know, you're my people.
I think that's just a great point. And if you're listening to this and you're like, I can't get people to hang out with me, Mean Girls and Pizza, that's how you make it happen. It's not
rocket
science.
Let me know.
Exactly. Let's do this. All right. Thank you, Jake. So you can find me at Eric Resniak on Instagram, or just message the at Great Pop Culture Debate account on Insta or TikTok, or at GPCD on Mastodon. But what you really need to do right now is sign up for our weekly newsletter now every Monday at noon that tells you about everything new in pop culture that week. Sign up by finding the link on this episode at greatpopculturedebate.com or via the link tree on any of our social media accounts. Also, if you're enjoying this episode, check out our other best quote episodes devoted to such gay ass shit as Steel Magnolias, Drop Dead Gorgeous, Clueless, and Clue, with more to come, I am sure. They're so fetch. Oh wait, that's already out. Now let's move into round two so we can join the other mathletes in taking on Marymount Prep. We also choose the girl. All right, we're not going to do any reenactments. We're just going to go around the horn with the matchups. The first one, That's Why Her Hair Is So Big It's Full of Secrets versus Raise Your Hand If You've Ever Been Victimized by Regina George. I'm going to start with Andrea. Where are you going here?
The perils of having an A name.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with Raise Your Hand.
Curtis, where are you on this one?
Woo! I'm also going to be personally victimized by Regina George. That line has more gravitas, and that scene is so much more important than just her hair is full of secrets. It's a fun line. I really enjoyed it. Yeah, victimize me.
That's another interesting tidbit we've been learning about you. But thank you, Curtis. Glenn Coco, where are you on this one? Is it hair full of secrets or personally victimized?
I'm staying here till four, Eric. I also love the other question that they ask him. Who has ever been called a slut? And the secretary just slowly raises her hand.
So does that mean you're going with raise your hand or slash personally victimized?
Raising my hand.
All right. So we're going to make it a clean sweep for raise your hand if you've ever been personally victimized by Regina George. Going to our final four. Next up, she doesn't even go here versus there's a 30% chance it's already raining. I'm going to start with Jake. Where are you on this one?
She doesn't even go here.
Curtis.
Oh, God. I love them both. I truly love both of these lines. I love the physical comedy of Karen grabbing her breasts to tell if it's raining. I love the sunglasses in the hoodie in the back of the gym. She doesn't even go here. But I think she doesn't even go here is more in the thread of pop culture when it comes to Mean Girls. So I'm going to go with that one.
Andrea.
Again, I think I'm going to get outnumbered here, but I'm going to go with 30% chance it's already raining. I just think it's such a great peak Karen Smith line. Like, that's everything that we need to know about her in one line, is that she's hot, she knows where her boobs are, and she knows when it's raining, sort of kinda.
Yep, I agree. I am going with she doesn't even go here, and I just to pick up something Curtis said, the physical comedy is great in both of these, but like the fact that Damien, who is like a 7 foot tall giant of a man, is there with the hood pulled over and his little sunglasses being indiscreet in a auditorium full of young women. And nobody calls Damien out on this, by the way, like everyone just goes along with it, is really funny. And she doesn't even go here. Like, it's such a, again, that is not a joke that had to happen for this movie, the whole like crying girl, but it's so funny. And it just works. So that'll be going on to our final four. Next, it's I'm not a regular mom, I'm a cool mom versus you go Glenn Coco. I'm starting in the middle with Curtis. Where are you?
Four for you, Glenn Coco. You go, Glenn Coco.
Is it the final four for you, Glenn Coco? But and by that, I mean Jake, Glenn Coco, or your regular mom slash cool mom?
Going with Amy Poehler. Ooh. This is such a good scene.
Cool mom. All right. Andrea, where are you on this one?
And none for Regina George. Bye.
I'm also going with Glenn Coco.
Oh,
I am. Okay. Mostly because Glenn Coco sounds delicious right now. But that means it's three for Glenn Coco, I believe. And mm-hmm. That means Cool Mom is out. So it is round four and the final four for Glenn Coco. And finally, in our round two matchups, it's made out with a hot dog. That was one time versus if you're from Africa, why are you white? I feel unclean even saying that. I'm going to start with Andrea. Where are you?
I have to go with Why Are You White? It is just, it's so funny every time. The hot dog joke is, it's funny, but it's also like kind of gross. It doesn't hold up like Why Are You White does.
I mean, why are you white should be the question of the 2020s. Jake, where are you?
Yeah, I love the hot dog line because it's just like, you know, you expect her to say like, she made out with a hot dog. Like, no, that never happened. But she's like, that was one time. She doesn't deny it. But I got to go with, if you're from Africa, why are you white? I just think it's so funny that Karen just assumes that all people from Africa are black. and it's just such a funny line. And it's just Karen in a nutshell. And I love the response to it. Like, oh my God, Karen, you can't just ask people why they're white.
So true. So true. It encapsulates both of those characters. Curtis, where are you? Is it hot dog or Africa?
Ooh, it's Africa for me. I love that line.
Well, let's call Toto because it is a complete sweep for Africa. Nobody else on this podcast gets that reference because
the rains
everybody
are blessed.
Okay,
Eric.
Thank you. Because you're all millennials, but it killed with the Gen X crowd. It killed. All right. With that, we have our final four. We're going to take a quick break to hand out pieces of this cheap ass plastic tiara. We will be right back after these messages.
Do you suffer from FOMOphobia? That's the fear of missing out on important events that connect you to the world. You don't want to be the only person at work not talking about the most recent episode of the show everyone's dying to watch, right? Why not sign up for the Great Pop Culture Debate's free weekly newsletter? You'll get a curated list of upcoming releases in TV, music, film, and games, so you'll never be left out of the conversation. Avoid the FOMO. Head to greatpopculturedebate.com and subscribe today.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I'm Victoria Cash. Thanks for calling the Lucky Land Hotline. If you feel like you do the same thing every day, press 1. If you're ready to have some serious fun for the chance to redeem some serious prizes, press 2. We heard you loud and clear. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com right now and play over 100 social casino-style games for free. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
And we are back with the final four of our Best Mean Girls quote episode. At this point in the show, I always like to take a step back and see if we're where I thought we would be. It's a quote episode, so who knows? The final four is, raise your hand if you've ever been personally victimized by Regina George versus She Doesn't Even Go Here, and You Go Glen Coco versus If You're From Africa, Why Are You White? This is a completely inappropriate final four, which I think is appropriate for this movie. So we're going to go around the horn. I'm going to start. You know what, Andrea? I'm going to give you, as the actual girl on this panel, I'm going to give you a break. I'm going to start at the end of the row. Jake, raise your hand if you've ever been personally victimized by Regina George versus She Doesn't Even Go Here. Where are you voting?
She Doesn't Even Go Here. Yeah, I think for the reasons that were discussed earlier. It's one of the most iconic lines. And it was so hard to choose for this whole episode, but out of those standouts, this one stood out especially and still does. And I use it all the time.
All right. Thank you very much. Curtis, where are you? It's ever been personally victimized by Regina George or She Doesn't Even Go Here?
I'm going to go with She Doesn't Even Go Here. I love the personally victimized, like that scene is fantastic where they have the meeting to talk about heavy flows and wide set vaginas, and it's all the trust, like the whole thing in the gym, everything that happens in the gym is fantastic. But I really truly think She Doesn't Even Go Here is the one that I've probably said the most.
These lines are both from that scene, actually.
Yeah,
both of them are gym lines. Andrea, where are you on this one?
This is the part of the podcast where I just leave because my opinions don't matter anymore. but personally victimized, it's just, I think it has more relevance and staying power today than She Doesn't Even Go Here does. Kind of like what I was talking about with, I'm not a regular mom, I'm a cool mom. It's a little bit overdone at this point. And I think personally victimized still has some mileage left.
Interesting. I'm not saying I disagree with you, but I disagree with you. and I am going to give it to She Doesn't Even Go Here. So that will be moving into the final two. Finally, it is You Go Glen Coco versus If You're From Africa, Why Are You White? I'm going to start in the middle with Curtis.
Why are you white?
Miracle Whip.
So I'm struggling because I think Glen Coco, that line has more of the pop culture gravitas, the like kind of what I've been using as my stake throughout this. But I love Why Are You White as a line because it pushes the boundaries of like what is acceptable in terms of pop culture. It is making white people feel uncomfortable about their microaggressions and racism that they may not even realize is there. And that's the one that I'm voting for. I'm going for Why Are You White? Correct me if I'm wrong. I have not seen the new movie. I think I heard that this was one of the lines that was taken out, and it guts me. Like, that kills me because this is such a great line.
I saw it last night and I honestly don't remember, but I feel like it's not in there. I could be wrong. And if you're listening to this and you know I'm wrong, tell me I'm wrong. But I don't, like, I remember watching that scene waiting for that moment to happen, and I don't think it happened. Yeah. So, all right. So you're going with questioning why you're white.
Every day.
Jake, where are you?
I'm also questioning why I'm white right now.
Yeah.
for those of you listeners, I'm very Korean.
Jake, if you're from New Jersey, why are you Korean?
If I'm Korean, why is my last name Italian?
There you go.
That's the one.
Yep, there we are.
So in that aspect, I do very much relate to that quote. And I just think the way that Karen delivers it, it's just so innocently. She's really just curious.
Yeah.
She's just innocently curious. Like, if you're from Africa, why are you? She just doesn't understand. And just, I think, you know, encapsulates her character so well. Glenn Coco, I probably use more often. And I get the reasons for it. And I think it's just a funny scene, especially when he just interrupts the English class. Like that woman just giving like, I think the line was like, you know, why would the world be so narrow and colossus? Might translate into why was he so huge and obnoxious? And she's like, Candygram. But I think that I got to go with from Africa, Toto.
And Andrea, where are you on this one?
We can all agree that everyone's questioning why three fifths of the people here are white. Yep. I'm Mexican, so this line always resonated with me as a really funny thing too. I also love the play that it has with in the earlier scene when they're first introducing Katie to the classroom, and they're like, all the way from Africa, we have Katie Herring, and he points to like the only black woman in the class. Welcome. And she looks and she's like, I'm from Michigan.
Great. Tina. I love Tina Fey so much.
It is like, I had not thought about the, it really kind of encapsulates the subversive humor of this film, which is funny because in the 2020s, it ended up not being subversive enough, right? People are like we need to push this a little farther, and the new one does. But yeah, I give it to the Why Are You White into the final two over Glenn Coco. Glenn Coco's great. We love you, Glenn Coco, you know, but it's not a final two. So we have a final two of She Doesn't Even Go Here versus If You're From Africa, Why Are You White? I'm going to start in the middle with Curtis.
I'm going to stick with Why Are You White for that subversive humor and everything that we just talked about, because I guess I need to go watch it. I know that we're not going to talk about it, but this movie is my like top two favorite movie of all time. I love every bit of it. I love the subversive humor. I love how challenging it is. And I just appreciate that it makes people feel uncomfortable while also making them laugh. And I think that not only is this line representative of Karen and her ignorance slash also that like it makes her you just appreciate Karen as a character, but it pushes the boundaries in it. It makes it so funny. So I'm going to stick with Why Are You White?
All right, Andrea, where are you on this one?
I'm sticking with Why Are You White? It just it holds so much more meaning today than She Doesn't Even Go Here does. And I always appreciate staying power of things and how well it ages. And this was one that kind of ebbed and flowed maybe, but I think at the end of the day, it will stand the test of time.
Well, you're on a podcast with three gay men, and much like Damien, I can say that we all appreciate staying power and how well something ages. So, Jake, speaking of aging wonderfully, where are you on this one?
Thanks, Eric. Mm-hmm. I got to go with If You're From Africa, Why Are You White? I just think it's such smart writing, great acting. I love, you know, She Doesn't even go here, but I think it's maybe a little overused to like Andrea's point. And I think it just, in terms of aging, I think that this is just like, it's just funnier too. I think it may not be used as much in like conversation, because like how often are you going to like incorporate that into like, you know, you're just like your regular conversation. So in
every
that
day.
Is kind of that way, just exactly. You know, when don't I? Mm-hmm. but like in that way kind of preserves it, you know, it keeps it like, you know, a little more like, makes it a little more special. And I think for that reason, I got to go for it.
All right. I'll make it a clean sweep. I think that it is I really appreciated the argument that it gets to the subversive humor that is so crucial to this film. And I think one thing that I've learned over this episode is that it's very hard to encapsulate this whole film into one quote. The way that, for instance, when we did Clueless, there was a very specific quote that was quintessential to that movie. And I don't think Mean Girls has that. It's much more spread out. But this one is both funny and subversive, and also gives you a sense of those characters right in that moment in a very potent way. So there you have it, folks. Our pick for the best Mean Girls quote is, if you're from Africa, why are you white? Do you agree? Do you think that we are fugly sluts who you should not trust? Tell us how you really feel by leaving a comment on this episode at greatpopculturedebate.com, or find us on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, or Mastodon. While you're there, make sure you subscribe and follow the podcast so you can hear about what new debates are coming soon, vote in open polls, and even decide which topics we tackle next. If you really enjoyed this episode, please take a minute to like and rate it on whatever platform you listen on. I want to say thank you to my panel. I am totally gay for you, just like Janice Ian. And thank you for listening. If you loved what you heard, please consider supporting us on Patreon, where you can get even more exclusive content and get episodes a whole day early. We hope you have a good one. And remember, everyone is entitled to their wrong opinion. The limit does not exist.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.